Hello and welcome to the College of Optometrists podcast, where we explore the profession and the fascinating world of vision and eye care, discover new ideas and research, and learn from others' experiences. I'm Denise Voon, Clinical Advisor at the College, and today we have something a little different for you as Acuity, our professional development journal, takes over the podcast to talk to two college members about their recently published research. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello. Today we'll be speaking to two college members about their research interests. Amy Hughes is an optometrist and PhD student at the University of Bradford. Her recent paper, Distance Spectacle Wearing Habits in Older Patients in England, is due to be published this autumn. Amy received funding through the iPro Small Grants Programme, now called the Small Grants Scheme, to conduct this research. Ian Jarvis is principal optometrist at Jarvis Optometrist in Dundee. As well as running his own independent practice for more than 30 years, Ian has conducted some fantastic community practice-based research assessing the effect of topical azithromycin on meibomian gland dysfunction. Amy, if we start with you, can you tell us a little bit about the research you've carried out?
Yeah, by all means. So I've carried out three projects with the help of small grants schemes, all of which have been published and all of which form part of my PhD thesis. So the first paper was called The Visual Impact of Lens-Induced Astigmatism is Linked to Habitual Astigmatism Axis. And we investigated whether induced astigmatic blur, when that's added at a participant's habitual axis, does it blur the vision less than when you add it away from the habitual axis? And that was to help us understand the ways in which patients may be adapted to their own astigmatism. The second paper used focus groups and reflexive thematic analysis to explore what a patient's beliefs about and experiences of adaptation to glasses, and how does this affect their wearing habits. And the third paper, which you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is about distance spectacle wearing habits in older people in England. And for this, we used a questionnaire-based design to discover how older people use their distance vision correction and which factors might influence how much they wear that correction.
Lovely. Okay. And Ian, your research is in a slightly different area. Tell us about that.
Certainly. So as an independent prescriber, we're always encouraged to use evidence-based practice. So really, for us, when we're prescribing any drugs, we really have to be able to justify why we're doing it and doing it in a safe way. So this research really came about from a particular patient where I couldn't do the normal form of treatment because of antibiotic allergies, and discovered a study that had been done in the States a few years back saying that these topical antibiotic drops were as effective for treating meibomian gland dysfunction, which is the form of dry eyes. So really for me, the research came out of using that drug in practice and realizing how effective it was, but also realizing that many of my colleagues didn't have that same knowledge. So really the research for me is about disseminating that knowledge and changing best practice for dealing with meibomian gland dysfunction.
What was it then that the first made you interested in research?
Well, for me, I'd already done a bit of research. In Scotland, we have NES, which is a national body for educating healthcare professionals. And I was one of those educators for optometry when it first started. So I did some research on how effective continuing education programmes were in changing the practice of optometrists on a day-to-day basis. So I'd already had a bit of a sampler of research. And then, like I say, when I started having these questions myself about how much evidence there was for what I was doing, I thought, well, I better get on with some research and prove that this is the best practice going forward.
And Amy, what about you? How did you start in the field of research?
So I did a career progression degree up at Bradford, and I think I've always been a big questioner. So I think I remember quite specifically during my undergraduate degree, I was asking one of my lecturers a load of questions, as usual, and they said to me, okay, if you want to know the answer to those questions, you're just going to have to do a PhD and find out yourself. And I think that sowed the seed a little bit. So yeah, I think I'm as I say, a natural asker of questions. It seemed the natural next step.
It's all very well saying just go and do a PhD, but I'm sure it wasn't quite as easy as that. So what sort of challenges have you faced, Amy, on your journey in research?
I've done a PhD part-time, based 200 miles away from my university. I've had three children. We've had a global pandemic. We've had a family bereavement. So I think some of the challenges are probably fairly self-evident in a sort of practical point of view. You know, just carving out the time to dedicate, the huge amount of work that's ultimately needed to complete these projects and complete the PhD, while there's just so many other demands between family and your day job and the research. So I think that's the practical challenge. I think coming from a clinical background, there's some other sort of specific challenges where certain aspects I think we're really good at because we know which questions need to be asked. And I think we're really experienced in dealing with our patients or participants. But maybe some of the other aspects like the data management, certainly the statistical analysis, that can maybe feel a bit more alien to begin with, or certainly did for me.
And Ian, I mean, you've got you're running at your practice at the same time. Did that pose a particular challenge?
Yes, is the short answer. I think with all forms of research, it really does require a lot of quality time. You need thinking time. And for that, you need complete peace and quiet. And that's probably been the hardest thing to schedule in. Because like you say, it's not just about doing the day-to-day job, it's also running a business and also other professional commitments. So you do need to carve out space to be able to do your research properly.
And it's an obvious question, really, and an obvious answer, I suppose, but why do you think research is so important in optometry?
I think, like you say, you need the evidence, and particularly in our discussions with the NHS and with, you know, Scottish Government for us up here, and it's the same for you in the rest of the UK, is you need evidence. You need evidence that what we're doing is working and it's worthwhile and it's worthy and it's safe and the best thing to do. So evidence is really important, and that's how you get it, is through the research.
Now, Amy, before we started chatting, you pointed out you're also a practicing optometrist as well. So how do you see, or why is it important for your patients then that you conduct this kind of research?
So I think simply we have to know why we're doing what we're doing, exactly as Ian says, and make sure what we're doing is evidence-based and in the best interests of the patient. And in some ways, I think actually refraction prescribing is actually quite underrepresented in research, perhaps compared to the management of detection and management of disease. And I think for understandable reasons, but actually for most patients, it's sort of the most important thing we do for most our patients. And yet there's not an enormous evidence base to base those decisions on. So that's why I'm particularly interested in my area of adaptation to refractive correction and prescribing. I think it's very valuable to add research into that area, which I think can perhaps be a little bit less evidence-based sometimes.
And then one final question I've got for both of you then is, what advice would you have for other college members who are interested in undertaking their own research projects? You first, Amy, what would you suggest?
So I'd say go for it, because I think practicing optometrists have a really unique viewpoint and skill set to bring into research, and it's really, really valuable. And I'd say don't be too worried if you don't feel confident in every aspect of what you need to do, because actually there's loads of great resources out there and lots of great people who will support in the research community. So I think it's just a matter of being really confident about what you do know and what you can do, and just trusting that you'll learn the additional skills that you need.
And Ian, what would your advice be?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, go for it. It's really good. It's really satisfying because we should all have inquiring minds and see why does this work or why doesn't that work? So research helps provide those answers. And I think the best advice, certainly what I found is from coming from just being a community optometrist, I had absolutely zero experience of research and all the technical jargon that comes with that. And I did find the college was a great help. And that really helped me push things forward to stage where what I've got now is something that could easily be published.
Wonderful. Amy Hughes and Ian Jarvis, thank you very much for chatting to us today.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.